I don't know where he imported him from. I don't think anybody's ever found that out. But I love him anyway. And all of you do too. Everybody that knows this man falls in love with him. It's a shame because his wife loves him too, so we can't get him. But no, this is a tremendous man. He has helped so many people. He has helped so many people. And the more he helps them, the happier he gets. And his voice is nice and strong, so you won't have to hear mine cracking. But your heart's going to go out now to our speaker of the evening, our George Thorne.
Got to give you a hug first.
Love you, honey.
Love you, honey.
Though I have to say that I just found out who's speaking on Sunday. And, you know, when you go to a show or an entertainment thing, concert, they always have an opening act. And I want you to look at this week, if you haven't been here before, is one long concert. And the main event's this Sunday because Miss Lindy's speaking. And she's the greatest. And I will open for this lady any day. Luis Martinez stopped at a Subway store in Florida and ordered a sandwich. He asked for a Philly cheesesteak with American cheese, onions, and ketchup. The last ingredient, ketchup, almost cost a life. Lawrence Ordone, the sandwich maker, told the customer, Martinez, Subway didn't carry ketchup. Voices rose, tempers flares, swearing ensued. Ordone, the sandwich maker, feeling there could be a possible gun threat, moved from the counter to block the customer from leaving the store. Martinez called 911 and the police arrived. Martinez, the customer, said Ordone, the sandwich maker, threatened to kill him. Ordone denied it. By the time police arrived, the employee had left. The sandwich maker was fired, no physical injuries, no arrests yet, but it's turned over to the state attorney general's office to see if charges will be filed over ketchup. A 31-year-old woman was arrested 4 days after Christmas and charged with murder. She pushed a man to his death onto the tracks of a subway station where he was hit by an oncoming train. The woman chose her victim because she thought he was a Muslim or a Hindu. The district attorney said the woman told police, "I pushed him off the train because I hate Hindus and Muslims ever since 2001 when they put down the Twin Towers. I've been beating them up ever since." The woman believed Muslim and Hindu faiths are the same, as if that were an excuse. The victim was born in India, was Hindu. Friends said he was completely nonviolent and lived a quiet life. Jason Lewis was with his girlfriend sitting at a counter of a diner in upstate New York at 5 a.m. about a week ago, having breakfast. A drunken man walked in the diner, saw the girlfriend, went up to her, grabbed her by the arm. She complained, then her boyfriend intervened. The drunken man hit the boyfriend in the face. "Why'd you hit me?" he demanded. "We don't have to shed blood over this." The attacker thought otherwise, pulled out a handgun and ended the argument forever. Police responded, but too late. "He just put the gun to his heart and pulled the trigger," said the store's owner. It took two seconds. Police caught the man and charged him with murder. "I've known him for 20 years, said the owner of the customer. "He was quiet, one of the best people you'll ever meet, so humble." We all know what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, before Christmas to so many beautiful young children. What's going on? What's our country coming to? Everyone has an opinion about all this, and I do too. But believe it or not, that's not what I want to talk to you about tonight. Actually, I want to completely turn attention away from all that, to right here, to the peace and sanctitude of this church and the people in it. And I want to ask everyone here a question, and I ask you to really think about it. The question is this: why don't we do this? Why don't any of you act like this? Why aren't you violent? Why don't you go out and hurt, attack, or brutally harm other people? Think about it. All of the insane violence in the world, in the United States, in California, right here in San Diego, but it doesn't happen here in this church. How come? What makes us special? This is what I want to focus on tonight. If you think about it, this is all we really have control over anyways, is ourselves. Please, just for a second, look at the contrast. Why is everyone in this room so different from so much of what is going on in the world? The answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? We have God and we have love. You have God and love in your hearts, don't you? The reason none of us act like this is we have God's love and we know it. And we find peace, love, and safety and security in that knowing, don't we? And if we know nothing else, we know one thing for sure. Those people who saw the need for violence, who had to kill someone on impulse or threatened to kill someone, I would bet big money that they don't feel the love of God inside them when they did it. Wouldn't you agree? They do, they don't, and you do. What does that mean? I think it means that the spiritual issue is not about guns or short tempers. These are the effects. They are not the cause, are they? Rather, it's about what we, when we do recognize a society as a world, that what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And the greatest word for love in the world is God. That's the issue. That's the difference. These people, so many people in our world, don't know they are part of God, that they are loved and never alone. Joel Goldsmith, a Christian mystic, wrote an incredible book called The Power of the Presence. In it, he says, we think God is everywhere, but God is not. But he doesn't mean it like it sounds. He goes on to say, God is all around us, but until we connect with God, we don't know it really exists. He uses the analogy of electricity. He said, electricity is like God. It's everywhere, but until it's connected, it can't really do a lot of good. The same way, if we don't know it, God can't be nearly as effective in our lives, and we don't feel the love. I'm going to give you an example, the best one that I can, that will prove to you how true this is. It's very close to home, and I'm the example. For the majority of my life, the vast majority, I never knew God existed. I want to repeat that. For more than 80% of my life, I didn't believe that God existed. Matter of fact, I thought it was pretty much a fairy tale. A figment of the imagination of desperate people who needed a security blanket. Hi, God. God was for the ignorant, the not so well informed. God was for those who wanted easy answers. There was nothing about science and religion. Plus, if you look back through history, most of the wars in our world have happened over religion, haven't they? Prayer. You have to be joking. Prayer was for fools. Who are you praying to? The wall, the ceiling, the floor? Miracles. Come on. I had a philosophy professor in college who convinced me and my classmates that all the big miracles really happened 2,000 years ago, and most people couldn't read or write and were dirt poor. So you might ask, how did all those big thoughts work for you, George? Oh, great. Just great. I was just thinking the other day, most of my life, I was deeply depressed, seldom happy, on my own. Oh, I got happy all right, after I had about 5 drinks in me. Of course, I got into accidents drinking. I even got into a couple fights in my life, won some, lost some. And I wasn't happy like that. I was angry. I was very angry. Because I thought, I believed that I was alone and the world didn't make any sense. Everything was random. There was no purpose. Even had a philosophical name for it in college. It's called existentialism. Deep down inside, I was also very scared, which is probably why I smoked 3 or 4 packs of cigarettes a day and drank about 20 cups of coffee. I was very nervous all the time. One time I remember getting so angry, I hit what I thought was a wooden door with my fist, only the door had glass panels in it. I missed the wood and my arm went through the glass. I had to have 23 stitches in my arm. It's funny, even though I didn't believe in God at the time, I sure could take his name in vain back then. Doesn't make much sense when you think about it. If you really don't believe in God, how come you use his name so often in a negative way? Just goes to show you again how smart I was. Another time, I had just gotten home from a long, exhausting business trip, and I was very tired. I went inside my house to get something, and I opened a cabinet door too hard. It flew back on its hinge, and it came back and smacked me in the arm. What did I do, grown intelligent man that I was? I hit it back. I knocked it off the wall. Then I looked at my hand, saw that my knuckle was smashed. Doctor said I had broken my knuckle and there's nothing I can do about it. The positive is today I look really good drinking tea or eating Danny sandwiches because my little finger is always in the air. Note, in all of my angry outbursts, though, who is really getting hurt in all of this? It was me. I could go on, but I think you get the idea. But what is fascinating to me is how I treated myself and others, how angry I became, how brutal I could be to other people and myself when I knew, I mean, I really thought I knew, that God didn't exist. And what is behind nearly all the anger? It's fear. Because deep down at night, when you put your head on the pillow, you feel the fear. And that's why the alcohol and the cigarettes and everything else I could find to get myself in trouble with. This all lasted until a certain point in my life when I was at my lowest point ever, when absolutely nothing made sense. I started going and sitting by the ocean for hours. I didn't know what to think or who I was or what to do. I could honestly tell you I didn't know anything. Amazing, huh? Given how smart I always knew I was. Then one day, sitting in the sand under the warm sun, I saw something that I'd seen 1,000 times before, but I saw it for the first time. I saw all the birds flying over the water in unison. They were in formation. There was this beautiful symmetry to every flock of birds that flew overhead. A month or so later, I saw a pod of porpoise swimming silently through the water in single file, in a row, and the waves, always beautiful and peaceful. But there was a natural ebb and flow. For the first time in my life, when I really began to see, to open my eyes, I saw that nature was a system. There was a grand design behind everything. I started to get an inkling of proof that there was something in the universe bigger and far more important than I was. And for the first time in my life, I felt just a twinge inside of me of love, of peace. The world wasn't all so random. There did seem to be a greater order. Then something really remarkable happened to me one night. I now know it was a miracle. I was going through a lot of pain in my life for things that happened to me as a kid that I didn't discover until decades later. It was so repressed, and it hurt. Oh, God, it hurt. Once I put down the alcohol and the other addictions, this unbelievable pain, my past, came floating up and flooded through me. It hurt so much that it brought me to tears. It was relentless, night after night after night, month after month. I could hardly bear it. Until one night, something unbelievable happened. I saw the face of Jesus. Given where I was and what I believed at the time, I thought I was losing my mind, but I hurt so bad I didn't really care. I thought I'm going to go insane, and this brings me comfort. I'm going to take it. From that point on, every time I felt the pain, I felt the presence, the face of Jesus. And I can tell you how much comfort it gave me. I would imagine being held in the arms of Jesus. I was comforted and cared for. How good it made me feel. And I began to feel a little more love, more peace inside. Today, I don't believe I was insane at all. Today, I believe that was when I began to get sane. It wasn't long after that I was introduced to Reverend Millie. And the very first thing she said to me after we were introduced was, "God is love. God is love." She, I now know, knew I needed to hear those words right off the bat. Imagine that. I can't tell you what those words meant to me. Given all that I'd been through, what I'd endured, and what I thought God was, and now I hear God is love. It was the answer to a question so important, but that I had never thought to ask. Those words changed my life. Now I know that God did exist. God wasn't Charlton Heston sitting on a cloud with a harp. God wasn't robes and gold and chalices and pomp and circumstance and big cathedrals. God is something far more valuable than all of that combined. God is love. And as I've said way too many times up here, it was proven to me in Tuesday night class, and if you've never been, I invite you to do so because it will change your life too. You know, we like to think of our classes as spiritual development classes, but given what I've experienced here and what I've seen by the example of so many of people in this church lately, I don't know that they really aren't love development classes. Funny thing about God, when you start to feel and honor the presence of God, you start to feel the love inside. It happened to me. I know it has happened to most of you. And I've seen many people here begin to feel the love too, once they knew that they knew that they knew. Remember what I said early on about so many wars being fought over religious beliefs? I really believe this is true. But I also believe way too much religion is about the word of man and not the word of God. And I too often think this is the world of ego. But when you get it down to the real basics, God is love, kids. God is love. That takes all the stuffing out of all man's interpretation of it. Noe has another little ditty that she likes to share that pertains to all this. I love it. She calls them little ditties, and they're the most important words in the world. We're all bubbles of God, she says. We are all part of God. Well, that was the second biggie that changed my life. Not only is there God, but I am part of God. Every one of you and me. We are all expressions of God. A drop of water in the ocean is part of the ocean, and the whole ocean is God. Trust me, when you really begin to feel this, you will feel the love come pouring through. And today, I can stand here and tell you that I'm no longer angry, although I have my moments, but I sure don't hit my fist against any more doors or cabinets. I'm no longer depressed, but yet occasionally in that too. It's called being human. But most of the time, I feel very blessed to be here. I am so grateful for what I have, and yes, even for what I have been through, because otherwise I would have never found God, and that is truly the greatest blessing and gift in my life. So I say again, the difference between what is going on in the world and what is going on in this church is that we are all children in God, only we know it, and many others do not. This is why we can feel the love for ourselves and for each other. This is the tragedy of today. This is the core of all the violence, the anger, and the hostility. I know it's true because I have lived it. I know the difference. I know the difference between living with God in love and living in anger and fear. Let me tell you, without God, it's pretty dark in there. You might even say it's a living hell. And what better way to prove it and close tonight than with a very powerful and beautiful quote from the Bible, from the greatest teacher of them all. It comes from the book of Luke, and it goes like this. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. I will make you a guarantee, and I'm sure most of you here would agree. When everyone on earth knows that the kingdom of God is within them and feels God's love, there will be no more wars, no more killings, no more violence, no more battles over ketchup. And what religion someone is, because everyone then on this planet will know one thing for sure. God is love, kids. God is love. Thank you.
Now, had he not gone and put himself through all of that, he would not be able to help as many people as he's helped. Take a look at your life and what have you been through or put yourself through. You can use it as a tool to help other people. To help God, because God's in everyone. God is your love warrior, big or little. George, you're priceless. Priceless. What do you want to say about him back there, kids, huh? Aren't you glad you found him? Hi, okay. Well, I'm mighty glad. Whatever brought him to California, I'm mighty glad about that. Brought you to California. How did you come to California? You're an Arizonian.
Yeah, I know. It just got too hot over there.